Thanks for listening to the Undercooked's review of the 2024 Spanish Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com and the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's coopsf1.com, where you can put your theories to the test. We just had the 2024 Spanish Grand Prix, you know, a track that these drivers, at least the ones that have been on the grid for 2+ years, know very, very well. They used to do lots of testing here. Obviously, they've switched it to really Bahrain recently, but a track that they know really well, lots of big runoff areas. So everybody was coming in pretty confident.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like you said, it's was where they did all the testing for many, many, many years. So the teams have a lot of data on the track and, you know, what sort of surface it has and the downforce they need and to able to tune the cars. So certainly a known quantity for almost everybody that's there.
Yeah, absolutely. And one that Max has done particularly well at the past, I think he won the past 2 Spanish Grand Prix coming into this weekend. So, you know, they've been on the back foot, so to speak, even though he won the race before this one. But, you know,
things
seems to be talking about it being a lot closer now.
Things are closer. Yeah. So, I mean, from Monaco, where it was super boring, but, you know, Charles got his win, to Canada, it was super exciting, but Max still won, you know, which we considered, you know, boring historically in the last year or so, like, oh, Max wins again, but a super exciting race in Canada.
Absolutely.
So yeah, have the teams behind Red Bull found something, you know, to close that gap. You know, McLaren are looking faster, Mercedes are looking better, unfortunately maybe Ferrari not so much, but yeah, that gap seems to have closed to Max at least. I think they've sprinted past Checo.
ever since they announced he's been just atrocious.
But yeah, definitely more exciting. So I think I'm okay with Max winning as long as it's a competitive race, right?
And yeah,
it's not just another a snooze fest. I'd rather have a Max win in a Canada race than a Charles Leclerc win that's just nothing happening at all.
Yeah, a Sunday drive. I guess I agree with that too, but you know, maybe mix some other winners in there.
I almost caught myself saying it, you know, as a Ferrari fan, you know, I'm super happy for Charles, but we're here to see some decent racing, and that Monaco just wasn't it. But the less said about that, the better, maybe.
Everyone that listens knows at least my thoughts on Monaco over the past couple seasons. But
Good job Nick's not here, because it's heresy to even suggest that they shouldn't be there.
The majesty of it. Yes, I get it. But yeah, let's jump into what was, you know, not a lot of crazy stuff going on in qualifying, other than both the Aston Martins were out in Q2. Obviously, Alonso, his home race along with Carlos. So that was super disappointing from him, although kind of, you know, they've been getting worse and worse as the season has gone on, it seemed. So not overly, you know, surprising, but not where they want to be. And then into Q3, there was a moment where Oscar was looking like he was on a very, very good run, but they didn't go out for a first run with him. Everyone else did, but he stayed in. I guess he like ruined a tire earlier on in qualifying, so he only did the one run, and it was really, really great. And then he went wide on that last new like wide turns right before the last straight down to the line, and so he had no time ultimately in Q3, but his teammate was able to get his first pole since Russia in 2021. And I think it's only the second pole of his career, if I'm not mistaken. I think that Russia was his first. So he was, you know, kind of calm in his excitement going into it with how close that they've been to Max recently. You know, he's definitely focused on the race, but still obviously excited for pole.
It's a bit of a return to how we were a couple of years ago, where Max was qualifying all over the place, but still winning races. Remember, he was like winning from 10th and 7th, and you know, he wasn't having quite the domination in qualifying that he did last year. But I mean, is it fair to say that maybe the McLaren is the fastest car right now? Like,
with Lando driving it?
I mean, the Red Bull isn't with Checo, we know that much. But you know, if there's a gap between them, it's hard to pick it out. And of course, you know, Russell took pole, even though they had exactly the same time in Canada. So
yeah,
those are the three teams. Ferrari don't seem to be quite there, but between McLaren, Mercedes, and Red Bull with Max behind the wheel, those guys all have a legitimate shot at winning a race, it seems, each week, which is awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, those three guys in particular, you know, the two Brits they were talking about a lot going in, because obviously Lewis had got placed P3 to start the race. So, you know, three Brits in the top four starting spots, with Max being the other one, of course, starting on the front row next to Lando. But yeah, any of those guys coming in. I mean, it seems like anybody in the top six felt like they could have a shot to win regarding what happened in the race.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Checo had a 3-spot penalty, right?
That's right. Yeah, for impeding in I think. Canada. Oh, no, right. It was for him driving with the back wing.
Exactly. Trying not to get a safety car, but then they got a safety car anyway, but for a different issue in Canada. So that bumped him down. So yeah, Max is kind of out there on his own a little bit. He doesn't have Checo to help him at the moment. Whereas you know, the Ferrari guys, the McLarens and the Mercedes are all in the mix.
Yeah. Although I think Oscar started P10. So he wasn't going to be helping Lando much, but both the Mercedes were right next to each other on the second row, and both of the Ferraris behind them together on the row behind them. So plenty of intrigue going in. Martin Brundle was not at the race this weekend, so we had Karun and Rachel Brooks doing the grid walk, and it just doesn't work with those guys.
Oh, you did.
Brundle has learned how to like weave in everybody and just be rude and just be like, I need to get through there. And they're just like being polite. And because there's two of them, they're all like losing each other and the camera doesn't know where to go. But they interviewed Flavio, which was interesting because he is now back in the sport all of a sudden. Like,
wow.
Working at Alpine, working at his old team, essentially different name, but the same team. Very odd.
I missed the grid walk. I must admit, I didn't see that. But yeah, Flavio Briatore, you know, a huge personality from the 90s. I think he was at Benetton. Ultimately banned from the sport for manufacturing what do we call it? Crashgate, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. What was it? Singapore in 2008.
Nelson Piquet Jr. crashing on purpose to give a race win to Alonso. And. Felipe Massa still thinks he should be world champion because of it, and a larger than life character, Flavio. So love him or hate him, really, is the only two choices.
And I believe he's still Fernando Alonso's agent. Later, so very interesting that he's back at the team where he, you know, got banned from the sport managing, but there he was back on the grid like nothing's changed. Very interesting. I'm expecting Bernie Ecclestone to come out of the woodwork at any moment.
Oh my god. Yeah, we're going back in time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Dennis to show up.
Oh no, yeah, right. That would be hilarious. And so everybody on the grid started on soft tires except for Albon, who was second to last, right in front of his teammate Logan. And Max, I believe, was the only person to start on scrubbed soft tires. At least
that's not true. Hamilton, Russell, Piastri, Perez, they all had scrubbed new tires actually for the front runners were the more rare. So Norris, Leclerc, and Sainz were the only ones in the top 10 that had new tires.
Interesting. So that makes me think, you know, so we'll get to the start of the race. Lando doesn't have a very good start. Max doesn't have a fantastic start either, to be fair, but Lando is pushing him over to the side like we've seen Max do a million times to everybody.
The excuses have started already.
Yeah.
just like he did to me.
Have we not, though? Have we not seen Max do that to Charles a million times?
There's a few hypocritical moments in this race that we could touch on, but yes, for sure, Lando was certainly preoccupied with Max, which is not surprising, I guess, but you're on pole. Like, let him attack you. You should take the straighter line, I think. So I think he was a bit overly aggressive. He didn't really leave enough room because Max did have to go on the grass, which is naughty, but
whatever.
Yeah, you're right. It happens all the time and he didn't get penalized for it.
But because of them battling so hard, George was right behind that battle because he started P4. He was right behind Max, Lewis ahead of him to the left, and he was able to just get an easy slipstream behind the two of them right in front of him. Oof. And then at the last moment, he just dips out to the left and goes around the outside and gets past both of them. And
he was
P1.
It was crazy. A great, great maneuver. I mean, his car slipped between Lando in front, and I'm not sure who was on his left-hand side. Lewis. There was no space when he pulled out to the outside of the track. You know, Max had a good shot at it because he was on the inside line, and then Lando was just in no man's land. He had a car on the outside, a car on the inside. He knew one was going to turn in, and he was potentially expecting Max to come out towards him. So he was the one ultimately that had to bail out and dropping from pole to third after one corner. I mean, fair play to him. There was a few radio messages that we heard a few laps later about what his plans were, but he must have been pretty annoyed that happened. But Russell, great start, great moves.
Yeah, it was similar to Albon's move in Canada.
I was thinking the same thing.
For the same stakes, but just slipping in between two cars and taking two spots.
Just like took the gap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. But it didn't last for very long. By lap three, Max took the lead fairly easily from George. I think it was going into turn one where we see a lot of overtaking, obviously down the pit straight.
Again, an easy move. I thought George was, I don't know what, I mean, I'm not a racing driver. I've watched a lot of racing, but George seemed to pull very much across to the inside in some sort of defensive maneuver, but he opened up the outside completely. I thought he could have stayed a bit more central, but maybe it was all done with the speed difference. Yeah. I don't know, but it looked like that corner, you could go around the outside. It wasn't that hard to go around the outside of whomever you were overtaking at that corner. You didn't have to cut the apex and you could still carry speed through. And of course, there's a left-hander right after it that you get the inside line. So, maybe there was nothing he could do. But I thought he kind of got out the way almost. But
It did kind of look that way. But, I mean, we've seen that so many times too when people see Max coming up behind him, although not as much recently, but...
Yeah, yeah.
They feel like they can't. They just let them go.
That's not my race to run. Yeah.
And then we didn't see anything for a little bit. Eventually, Checo and Alcon were the first guys to pit in the top 10. Obviously, I didn't mention before the Alpines. I think both made it into Q3. So a crazy turnaround from those guys from where they started. They're like the McLarens of last year.
Right. At the beginning of the season, they were absolutely awful. Yeah. So maybe they can stake their claim as most improved, you know, maybe in conjunction with the McLarens, but from where they started at the back of the grid, yeah, they've made significant gains.
All Flavio. He did it all by himself. He's been there for like 2 days at this point. And then let's see. So yeah, Pierre was driving really well. He was up into P6 at this point, doing really, really well. But unfortunately, he had a slow stop, and that put him back behind Ocon again. I mean,
yeah,
I just thought this is the moment we'll see these guys
arguing again over
who
gets to go in front. You know, are we switching back? All that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's
exactly.
They put the fun in dysfunctional in Alpine at the moment with their drivers. Yeah.
Yeah. Although Ocon at this point, now that he knows that he's not going to be there, I think he's going to be playing the good guy till the end of at least until he gets a contract somewhere, if he does.
Yeah.
But yeah, unfortunate for Pierre having that slow stop. And then we hear that Kevin had false started on the start, although he was pretty far back. So we didn't even see much about that. They were like the only team to not bring an upgrade this weekend. Everyone else brought some sort of upgrade, but Haas did not. And let's see, George came into pit on the 16th lap.
Oh, and his did George get the slow stop because his right rear tire, I think?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So he lost 3-4 seconds there. Just wouldn't go on.
And they were talking for a long time before that about how strong the undercut is here. And everyone was expecting Lando to be the first one to come in. At least that's how they were talking. But Lando stayed out. And they were talking like that was the end of his race. He'd already ruined it. That's what Crofty was saying.
This is where Lando said they were talking about covering Russell. And Lando said, basically, in as many words, said, "No, I'm racing Max. I'm not racing Russell." That's where his head was at, and I guess he decided to, whatever Max does, do the opposite sort of thing. So, stay out, try and create a tire differential that he can use to his advantage later in the race. You know, take the hit now and get it back later, which is a strategy, but it's. It you know requires some luck and to make it work, but
keeping those tires in for quite a bit.
Yeah.
But Lewis responded to George, and Carlos also responded. Or I guess Carlos was on the last lap with George as well. Then Lewis responded, and he came out right behind a battle between Carlos and Alonso, but Alonso had not pit at this point, so he would be dropping back soon anyway. And then Max finally came into pit, and he had a sub-2 second pit
stop. Yeah, so fast,
pretty crazy. And Lando keeps staying out, and like you said, I mean, everyone thought that at this point he ruined any shot that he had at winning the race. They're talking about him coming out in like P8 or P9, and that there was no point. But staying out and putting in good laps. I think he put in like a fastest lap the next lap or two after that. So he still had some life in his tires. Let's see. Lewis was able to get by Carlos fairly easily, but you know, they've been a lot faster this weekend. Oh, this is the one where they definitely made a little bit of contact. Lewis going up the inside. I mean, he definitely went a little wide. How do you see that?
You're talking about Sainz and...
Yeah, Sainz and Lewis when
passed back. This is the little bit of... what's the word I'm looking for?
Argy-bargy?
This is the little bit of... hypocritical.
Yes.
Sainz was being a bit of a hypocrite here because...
Yeah.
This is where he, overtakes Lewis. There's definitely a touch. And then Sainz goes onto the, pit exit or the escape road. No, it's not their pit exit, but there's an escape road there to the left, right? And goes around the cone, but stays ahead. So apparently you can do that and it's not counting as leaving the track and gaining an advantage because you drive around this bollard. Right. It doesn't look like it's that much of a detriment to go that way, to be honest. But hold that in your mind for later on when basically the reverse happens to Sainz and
this is that moment so Lewis goes along the inside. I don't know if he went down the escape road, did he? He just kind of touched him, but Carlos on the outside at this moment, right, for the second contact between
I can't remember what happened, but Sainz did some overtaking and kept the place, and then Sainz was overtaken. Same sort of contact, and Sainz got on the radio saying, "Send it to the stewards. Black flag him. Take him off the track. Dangerous driving." And of course, everybody just said it's a racing incident.
Yeah, you guys are racing. Yeah. And then let's see. So on lap 24, Lando finally comes into pit. Max had pit on lap 18, and he was the second to last guy, the top guys to pit. And he comes out in P6 on, you know, at least six lap fresher tires from Max. I mean, it's a little bit of an advantage, I guess, but they're all going on to hard mediums. Tires at this
mediums. Everybody's changing to mediums. Yeah. Everybody had new mediums to go on to, but yeah, it was like a six lap differential. So, you know, when Verstappen's tires are, you know, going off later on, will Norris still be fresh if he can catch him and, you know, all that good stuff. And I think, yeah, Leclerc still hadn't stopped at that point. And he was kind of complaining to Ferrari, like, why are we still out here?
Right.
They said, oh no, this is plan A. We're doing what everybody else is doing. I kind of felt for Charles there a little bit. It didn't seem like that's what everybody else was doing because Lando was stretching it and they were just leaving Charles out there to, you know, to get swallowed up. But
yeah, I mean, I think so. Charles responded on the lap after Lando pit. So he was in the lead of the race for one lap and he came out in P7 behind Pierre. So he dropped like one spot for staying out that long from where he had started the race. Let's see. So yeah, most are on mediums except for Checo, Bottas, and I guess Albon went on to softs when he pit because he started on medium tires.
Yeah, he did.
And I think Checo and Bottas went on to hard tire.
No, Bottas's first stop was still on soft.
Checo went soft.
He did. Yeah.
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 He went soft, medium, I think, at the end. Or maybe hard tires at the end.
No, Perez was the one that did three stops ultimately. He was the guy that, you know.
Yeah.
Him and Tsunoda were the only ones that did three stops. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, we didn't see much from Checo in this race. Anyway.
No, not at all. He was a non-factor pretty much.
Yeah. And then on three laps later than that, Lando had gotten past Carlos and was chasing down Lewis fairly quickly. Took the fastest lap of the race. Those fresher tires were doing good work early on, in the stint. And then four laps later, lap 32, he was able to easily take Lewis into turn one. He was already past him by the time they had gotten to the corner. And he was back into P3 already. So in less than 10 laps, he's already in the top three right where he was before.
You got to give it to Lando, right? You know, they basically, the team was talking about racing Russell. Lando's like, no, I'm racing Max. You know, he was sort of dictating the strategy in conjunction with his team. Clearly they had a plan for this, but, you know, Lando committed to that plan and he, you know, did the best that he could to make it work. So he knew he was going to have to pass people. So that's what he did. Good for him.
And then Checo pits again for his second stop already. So let's see. And then Max at this point has an 8-second lead over George. But it's looking like Lando might have a shot to catch up. It all kind of depends on how the next pit stop goes. because it doesn't seem like they'll be able to make the mediums last that long. So they'll have to make another stop. And then a few laps later, Lando and George are battling at the start of turn three, which is like the next set of faster turns. And was able to take P2 around the outside of George, and George just keeps his foot in and is able to take it back again, going around the outside of the other one. But Lando keeps his foot in on the other turn and just goes around the outside of the next one and is able to finally take it and take P2. But really, really great driving, not touching each other, giving each other space, but really, really impressive.
That was one of the highlights of the whole race. Those two going at it for multiple corners where they shouldn't be side by side, but like you said, they didn't take each other out as they easily could have done, gave each other space. I mean, Max, if he knew what was going on, would be loving it, because that's a slower way to drive your car around the track, battling like that. But yeah, great racing from the two of them. And I think as they said in the commentary, you know, these two been racing each other for years, you know, in multiple different formulas. So they know each other well. So, racing, lap 35, 36.
Yeah, absolutely. And then a couple laps later, George and Carlos come in for their second stops. They come on to hard tires, using all three compounds in one race, which we don't really see all that often.
This is a big question. Yeah, why did Russell go on to hards? That I don't necessarily understand.
Yeah. So they had another 30 laps to go, another almost half the race.
I guess, but, you know, Leclerc and Norris did 23 and 24 laps on the soft.
Yeah.
Right? So, a bit of a question mark. But, I mean, it's true, they still did have a ways to go, but... Maybe they came in a little early. Yeah.
And then pretty much immediately, a couple laps later, George says that on the radio he is not enjoying the hard tire, which is good info for the team to give to Lewis when he comes into pit right after that and comes on to soft tire.
Yeah. Most of the guys that started soft, went medium, went back to soft again. Everybody in the top of the top runners. Yeah. Except for Sainz and Russell.
Who were struggling and then just decided to jump on the racier tires again.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that did not make George very happy at that moment. And then right after that, Max came into pit. He's responding, seeing how Lewis is doing on the soft tires, and he comes in on the soft. And Lando starts picking up the pace again in free air. Before he decides to come into pit just two laps later than that, also on soft tires, but it was not a very good stop. I think it was just under 4 seconds.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was just a bit sloppy, right? There was no there was no like specific thing that went wrong. It was
it was like one person was too slow picking up the tire or whatever, and it just didn't seem to drop right, or it was kind of weird, but not a great stop from then. McLaren and Red Bull are really the two teams that are always fighting for like the fastest pit stop. So we don't see that much from them, but Lando has 8 seconds he needs to make up on Max. We're on lap 47 and there's 66. So like 20 laps left in the race to make up 8 seconds.
He started putting in fastest laps straight away. Yeah. And you just started sort of clock watching because they were showing you like the real time gap on the screen. And you're just, is it dropping fast enough to catch and overtake? So at first you think maybe, and then maybe not.
It was looking good at first. I was like trying to clock it in my head as I'm going and I'm taking notes. And it's like Lando has gained 2 seconds on the last four laps. With 16 more to go, if he keeps this up, he will definitely catch him. But you know, of course, passing him is another thing altogether. Yeah. But it looked like he'd have a shot. But Lewis, who had been behind George for a long time on the soft tires, was finally able to get by a struggling George on hard tires, and Lewis has a chance to get his first podium of the season, which is crazy to say.
That is a bit crazy, but. George has got to be annoyed that he was in that position. Sure. to start third, take the lead of the race. You know, he drove a pretty clean, you know, solid race, you know, battling with Lando and others like that, and to end up not even on the podium is tough. If he'd just stayed out a little bit longer and gone back onto to softs, he probably would have been at least third.
Yeah. But I don't think he can really complain about favoritism at this point, because I'm sure that Mercedes is not favoring Lewis right now.
They should have. You'd think they wouldn't be. Yeah, but right. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, seriously. And with another 5 laps go by, 10 laps to go, and Lando is only gained a second on those last 6 laps, and it's looking like the advantage is pretty much done at this point, and it's going to be tough to catch up. But we did see Charles on the soft tires on the very last lap. I mean, it took a couple laps. He was getting closer and closer to George, who is still on the hard tires, and got pretty close to him, but was just not able to make a move in the end, unfortunately, but he got very close.
Yeah.
And Max wins again.
Max wins again. But you know, not the instant classic that maybe Canada was. But you know, certainly plenty of storylines, plenty of opportunities for people to try and do things to make an impact on the race. It wasn't just done and dusted by Max, you know, after the first few laps.
Yeah.
So
he only won by 2 seconds in the end.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was just managing his pace a bit towards the end, right? There's no need to push it too much, but absolutely. I mean, better than 30 seconds or something.
Right.
He's done in the past. So lots of positives for everybody to take, but
yeah, Lando is not happy at the end of the race. Which is nice to see almost. Right.
Right.
I was like kind of happy that he was not happy with getting.
Yeah, you see that competitiveness that he wants more. He's not just like, oh, you know, look at me, I got on the podium. Yeah, he's had a win, and he wants more. So yeah, I had a lot of time for all the drivers, apart from Carlos being a bit of a hypocrite, as I said before. And you know, Charles couldn't get much out of his car, the Ferraris. All the top drivers did well. Everybody else though. No crashes. Not even a yellow flag? Is that right?
Not even a yellow flag.
Someone
did go off the track towards the end, but he was able to get it back on. I can't remember who it was, and there probably should have been a yellow flag, but I feel like they didn't have a yellow flag or any crash last year, and they're just like, let's keep one track completely safe go from there.
That's amazing. I mean, you talk about how many safety cars there might be at a race or something like that, but not to even have a yellow flag is crazy. But
yeah.
So good race for Max, Lando or McLaren. You know, probably, you know, good for Lewis too, back on the podium.
He seemed thrilled at the end to have a podium. I mean, obviously he wants to win, but they've done something right recently to get them looking much faster,
get them going, and then you said like the Alpines both in the points, right?
Yeah,
so they're pretty much where they qualified, which is kind of surprising. But from where they were at the start of the season, great turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, all those guys definitely winners on the day. But I mean, can you put really Ferrari as? It's hard to put them as losers. I did, but like, you know,
they want to expect more. They seem to be getting past, right? They're not, everybody else is improving quicker than they are. So, it's doesn't necessarily bode well for them going forward. So we'll see a few more races. Yeah. They could be off the back and fighting with the mid pack teams, and Mercedes, Red Bull and McLaren are in a different class.
Yeah, but at least Charles has been very good at Austria in the past. So
right. That's the next we got, because we've got Austria next, and then Britain after that, which is they're all back to back, right?
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm. 3 in a row. And then Oscar and Checo, you never really heard anything from those guys.
Yeah,
all race.
Oscar was sort of in the mix a bit, but like you said, he started 10th and he couldn't really get anything going. And then, the bottom 10 drivers were almost absent, right? Yuki, second to last. Logan, maybe a win for Logan. He didn't crash. Am I being overly harsh? I don't know.
But I mean, he was back by like a lot. He was like many seconds behind Yuki. Yeah. It's time. Goodbye, Logan.
Yeah. But, you know, Danny, a couple of races ago, you know, Danny qualified, fourth or whatever, and now he's, you know, back again. So it's hard to predict, you know, when the people are going to show up with what sort of performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that brings us to Coops.
Oh, yeah. I haven't actually pulled that up. I've got to check.
I had my biggest moving up of the season.
Right. Yeah, so we had
where I can get it.
So the top score this week, 360 points, which is a pretty high score, but you know, with no crashes, you know, all the top drivers finishing, you know, in the top positions, you expect higher scores. So that was by tableted. I don't know how you say that. Burn-in with the second highest score at 310. And then overall standings, R. Heatley keeps the top spot, and B.S. Nailham up four spots to second. Our own Prancing to first drops a spot down to fourth, but still very much in the mix. I think I moved up a little bit, but yeah, I'm in a...
The robot moved down for once.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, where's the prediction consensus? Yeah, dropped three spots to 15. So I guess we can't all get it right all the time.
Yeah.
Nick bumped up five spots.
Nice.
I'm still in I'm 86th.
Nice.
I haven't got you breathing down my neck though, have I? No.
Not
up,
quite.
You're up 45 spots though to 23rd. So, you know, you're like, yeah,
I'm getting there.
You're the mid pack. You're the Alpine, you know,
right.
team trying to make mid season improvements.
Exactly. Yeah. late surgence at the end, you know.
I mean, how far are we through the season now? It's motoring along pretty quickly. I mean,
we've got to be getting close to halfway, right?
10 races down. What is that? 20 plus in a season. So not
three or 24 altogether.
Not quite halfway. So.
Yeah, how many races there are now.
As expected, you know, Max has a commanding lead in the Max has a commanding lead in the standings, but
yeah, I mean, what is he up to now? It was starting to look a little close, but then won two in a row. So.
Yeah, so Lando's taken over second spot from Charles, so he's going to be happy about that. Only 2 points ahead. Yeah, 217, sorry, 219 for Verstappen. 150 for Lando, so he's almost three full race wins ahead of Lando. So he's dominating it once again, Max. But we are getting better races. So you know, let's enjoy
just
that.
Praying for like a Braun type of season, where the second half of the season, Red Bull is just going to be awful, and everyone else will be winning races.
Somebody comes in with some triple diffuser,
right?
Shenanigans.
So Austria
this week. It's a sprint race, I think, as well. So
it has been for a while. I didn't see that it was, but I'm not surprised. I think that's like the only track that's had a sprint race every season since they've done it.
All right. Okay. I think it's sprint.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, love it or loathe it. I'm a little indifferent about the sprint race, but
yeah.
You know,
it's just hard. More you have to watch.
It's hard for me to celebrate. You know, like, didn't Oscar won a sprint race, but you know, does that count as a win? Not really. You know,
no. So.
But he, you know, if I won a sprint race, I would be telling everybody that I won.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm being a bit harsh.
But it doesn't go in the books that way, unfortunately. Yeah. In his stats, it doesn't say Oscar Piastri won race win.
Exactly. Exactly.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Spanish Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the Austrian Grand Prix. See you then.